Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavirapi Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Rishi Yustat Priya Janaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunath Apta Rajabalabhapahima Bancha Kopatarubhyascha
Kripa Sindhuryaivacha Patitanam Pavaneyo Vaishnaveyo Namo Namah
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhar
Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
There's a nice verse. Prasanna jaham moho nityam paraparada dharmakaha Shama Shamam Hare Radha Dehime Sadhidanakam, which nicely describes my situation. Pasanchaham Oho Nityam. I'm always a Pasandi. Pasandi is often translated as atheist. Pasandi also means a kind of wicked person. Pasandi also means a pretender, someone who's acting like something they're not. Pasanchaham. I'm always like this. Paraparada dharmaka, what's my nature? My nature is to commit offenses to everyone. So, shamashamam hare radha, dehi me sadi dharmaka. We pray to Srimati Radharani, please forgive me for my offenses. Please make me into a genuine saintly devotee. We move down a little bit, I think. So, on our first day, we explored something, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the existential dilemma of Arjuna, and how he felt it was better to die than to fight against his own relatives. And this is the nature of upadis. Upadis puts us in such a bewildered condition of existence. Upadis are also a kind of violence. They say the largest place of violence in the world is in the home, between the loving wife and husband, the children, with the largest number of murders and things going on. Why? This is also when we have our greatest upadis. You're my wife, and I'll love you as long as you behave according to my designation. Or you're my husband, and I'll love you as long as you act this way, you're my child. If we think about it, upadis, along with upadis, there's a kind of violence implied. Because upadis means we're demanding, we're expecting someone to behave in a certain way. And if they don't, then we become very, very angry with them. So this upadis also is a source of Arjuna's lamentation. And we spoke something about the meaning of this word vishada, and how it means lamentation. It has many different meanings. And now, in the beginning of the second chapter, Sanjaya describes that Vishidantam idam vakyam, that Arjuna's words were Vishidantam idam vakyam, they were full of this lamentation. And this lamentation provokes something in their relationship. Arjuna finally took shelter of Krishna. And we spoke something about that. Yeshu karpanya doso ha subhava ha. We surrender to Krishna. He says, Shishya, stay at home. Now I have a new designation. I'm your disciple. And I want you to teach me. And we read something from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sarvatra Bharshan commentary, where he describes a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna, Nanumad Vachastam Pandita Mani Vena Kandayasi Chetkatam Bruyam. You're such a big pundit, Arjuna. You can defeat my words. You want to argue with me. So, how can I speak? How can I be your guru? And Krishna tells him, Sakayam Tvam Katam Upadishamiti Chetakchaha. How can I be your guru since you're my friend? And Arjuna says, No. Sishyaste Ahamiti. Now, this is a designation I have. Now, I'm your student. Sadi Sikshaya. You please teach me. So we spoke about how this manifestation of Krishna, Acharya Mam Vijanayam Navamanit Dukarichit, the manifestation of Krishna known as Sri Gurudev, appears before the sincere devotee who's crying in the heart, who's practicing Vishad Yoga. And this is a great mystery, this is a great secret in our line. It's not just some external thing. I've been in the movement for 1 year now. Who should I take as a guru? Can I look at the guru's pictures, please? Got any website URLs or anything you can see? It's not that we pick guru, but Krishna decides who guru is for us. Krishna sends us guru. Sometimes people also say guru picks you. Sometimes there's some problems we've seen with that also. Krishna should pick guru for you. We cry to Krishna, pray to Krishna. And then Krishna appears before us as guru. And as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta said, what we read yesterday, according to the degree of our sincerity. I'd like to read you something from the Guru Maharaj. This is from a book, When Good Fortune Arises. And he says, one may cherish some desire. I want to do this thing for Krishna. But you should beg for direction. Guru knows what the will of Krishna is, because he's very intimate with Krishna. So a disciple should beg direction from his guru. Just do whatever the guru says, as it is. That's beneficial for you. One should not dictate to guru, please tell me this thing. Please sanction my request. I want to do this thing or that thing. Don't dictate. Always beg for his direction. Completely depend upon his will, upon what he wants. Don't put forward your desires before him. Don't dictate to him. This is what Arjuna was doing initially. And because of that, Krishna told him, how can I be your guru? You already know so many things. You're such a scholar. You're explaining so many things to me about what is proper social life, how women should be protected, how the community should go on. You know so many things. And you don't want to follow my word because you know so much Shastra. Why should I speak anything to you? Then Arjuna says, No. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please teach me. So, when we speak about this Vishad Yoga, or the Yoga of Lamentation, it's on many, many different levels. And this is a kind of introduction to another level, which we can call the test of the Guru. Because Guru will test us. My Guru Maharaj used to say, Guru will test you very severely. He has to. If he's going to give you something very valuable, he wants to see what is the quality of your sincerity. He wants to see what do we really want. And as he used to sometimes say, if you want some cheap thing, that's very good. In the market, they'll sell you so many cheap things. But if you want something valuable, it costs more money. It's more difficult to find. So this is an important principle. Guru always tests the disciple. There's a story, a famous story in Braj. There's one Mahant, one of the Acharyas in the Nimbarka Sampradaya, who lived in the late 1800s. He is considered to be the father, Nir Sampradaya, the father of the modern Braj Mandal Prakrama. His name is Katya Baba. And he was serving his guru, Devadas, in a very humble way, a very sincere way, helping with the parikrama and doing so much hard work. And some of his godbrothers were becoming a little envious. What does the guy think he is? He thinks he's really advanced. Guru Maharaj is giving so much attention to him. And they were criticizing him. One day, his guru, Devadasji, he called for him. He called for Katya. And his guru was sitting in front of a fire. And he had an iron bar inside the fire, which was red hot. And he called for that devotee, that disciple, come here. And he started shouting at him. And he started beating him with that iron bar. Nonsense rascal. What are you doing? And just beating him severely. And his godbrothers were, you see, I told you. The guy's a nonsense, number one. And Kapila Baba, he just took that. Yes, Gurudev. And he didn't fight back with his guru. He just accepted that. And nothing further happened in that regard. A few years went by, and then his guru was on his deathbed. His guru was leaving this world. And his guru told him, you bring Katya to me. I want to see him. And his disciple came, and his guru started crying. And he said, I always loved you. He said, but I had to test you. And I wanted to protect you because they were envious of you. And if I embraced you as I wanted to do, then they would criticize you and cause you problems. And so I beat you. But please understand, I've always loved you and you're going to be the acharya after me. So it's not always clear how Gurudev behaves. And Guru always tests the disciple. There's a story we've heard about one young boy. His father was a thief. And his father was getting old. And it was getting more difficult for him to steal things and maintain the family. So the son one day approached his father and said, Father, you should teach me our family craft, our trade. Because you're getting old, you should retire. So now I can take up the work. His father said, okay, you come with me tonight at 12 o'clock tonight. And so they left. And they went to some house and they broke into the house, being very, very quiet. And then his father opened up a door, which opened up into a closet. And he told his son, look inside of here. Maybe there's something valuable. So his son went inside the closet and his father closed the door and he locked the door from the outside, inside these people's house. And then he made some noise, and he left. And all the people in the house woke up. What is it? There's a thief! There's a thief! And the boys inside this locked closet said, what did my father do to me? Oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? So then he thought, and he started making a sound like a cat. And then someone, oh, it was a cat made a noise. He got locked in the closet. So they went and opened the door, and the boy came running out. Hey, it's a thief. And they went running after the boy. And so they were pursuing him. And he saw a big stone near to a well. So he took the stone and threw the stone in the well. He kept running. And when they were coming, they heard the sound of splash. And he saw the well. Oh, he jumped into the well. He must have died, drowned in the well. And then the boy went home. And he said, Dad, I have something to tell you. It was really amazing what happened. And so he said, you don't have to tell me. You passed the test. Now you understand the trade. So please don't think that it's just some kind of mechanical thing. That I joined the institution, I gave some money, you know. I was a life member, had a card. And I've been here so many years, I've done the 4 of this and the 430 of that and the 16 of this, and I've got all the numbers lined up. And therefore I should get initiation and I should get mercy. But mercy doesn't come like that. Mercy comes when we're sincere. And Krishna will test us. Just as Krishna's teaching us through Arjuna. He's testing Arjuna very, very severely. Arjuna, you go and fight with them. You go and kill your relatives. Right? Which is a great irreligious act. And Arjuna, he's, how can I do this thing? How can I kill these people that I love, that are part of my identity? And how can I do such an irreligious act? It's a very, very great test. So Guru and Krishna will test us severely. Sometimes we don't see that, we don't understand it, because during the test, the teacher is always present, but the teacher is always quiet. Whenever there's a test, the teacher is always quiet. That's the nature of the test. So Gurudev may be very quiet, Krishna may be very quiet, and sometimes we may think like Arjuna, what am I doing here? I can't tolerate this anymore. My limbs are shaking. I have to go. I can't stay here. It's a great test. And Jiva Goswami speaks about this in Paramatma Sundarbha. He says some very interesting things I'd like to share with you. This is in Arucheda 93. He says, Paranandane pabritya dvida jayate parato nija bhishta sampatyai kvachit tadabhishta matra sampatyai cha. That there's two endeavors someone may make for happiness, two categories. One, you may endeavor for nija bhishta, for your own happiness. Or two, you may endeavor for tadabhishta, for someone else's happiness. In Jiva Goswami, he quotes the Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, the 10th canto, chapter, text 14. Yata kantaka vidango jantar nechati tam vyatam jiva samya gato lingar na tata vida kantaka. If you see the face of someone who's suffering, someone, it gives an example, someone's been kantaka, kantaka means a pin or a thorn. Someone's suffering from a thorn. And you've also experienced that pain before. You can understand that pain. And someone who realizes that, they don't want others to suffer in that way. But someone who hasn't been pinpricked by that thorn, they can't understand it. And they may go and they may speak some philosophy. Prabhuji, you should read Bhagavad Gita. Or not this body. I'll tell you a personal story. My wife and I were a few years ago in Jagannath Puri, and we got some very disturbing news that her father suddenly became sick, and they took him to the hospital, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and he only had a few days left to live. It was a very, very sudden thing. And we were very shocked. And that day we went to Tota Gopinath Temple, we said some prayer for him, and then we were circumambulating Chattopadhyay Govardhan Hill, Jagannath Puri on his behalf, and we got a phone call, and he passed away. And later that day, we went to visit Burijan Prabhu. Burijan Prabhu was very wise. And when he greeted us at the door of his room, he just looked at us and he said, something's wrong, isn't it? What's wrong? And we said, oh, her father passed away. And he looked at us and he said, such a thing, I'll always remember. He said, now is not the time for philosophy. Now is the time to cry. And this is our philosophy. We have so much philosophy. But the philosophy is meant to help us to come to the point of crying. It's meant to help us understand some things in a theoretical way. But the important thing comes when we can begin this crying from the heart, this Bishada Yoga. So Jiva Goswami, he says, Dukanubhavu nama hyantahakarane dukkha sparshaha sacha sparshaha. That you can understand suffering. When that suffering touches your heart, it has some utility for it. So he gives his first explanation as a purpose of suffering. When you go through some very, very heavy thing, then you can understand when someone else has done that. There's really nothing worse when some very heavy thing happens to you, your mother passes away, your husband, your wife, someone very dear to you, and then you go to a devotee and they say, well, you know, Prabhu, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, you're not your body, you know. You know that. And it's really not the time to hear that right then. Because we do also need a time to cry, even if it's for someone in the material world. Our hearts need that. And if we can direct that to Krishna, that's Bishada Yoga. Yoga means to link with Krishna. And we can use that. Krishna puts us through that suffering. Then when we see the suffering of other people, we can understand. And maybe we don't say anything. We just give them a hug and say, I know. And they understand what you know. And that, those few words you may say in such a situation have so much more potency than however many verses you may quote in a mechanical kind of way. Jiva Goswami goes on to further explain an interesting principle. Yatu bhaktanam sukham tatasya bhakti rupam eva. Where do we get our happiness from? We get our happiness from bhakti. Bhakti brings happiness to the devotees. So then where is our unhappiness? Tata tesham dukkam cha bhagavat prapt antarayanaiva bhavati. When there's something that prevents us from meeting with the Lord. Maybe you haven't seen your Guru Maharaj in 2 years. And he's coming to the city. And you're so excited to go and see him. And then suddenly you become very sick. And you can't go. And you're feeling so very depressed. There's a very wonderful program in the temple, but you can't go for this reason or that reason. That inability for us to be able to connect with Krishna and Krishna's devotees is what Jiva Goswami says, that's what causes us pain. That's what causes us suffering in this world. But when the devotee, in spite of those problems, this is a very important point, in spite of the troubles, in spite of our existential dilemma, even sometimes as devotees we think, I don't know, I've been here so many years. It doesn't seem like it's working. I feel so depressed. Sometimes devotees feel depressed. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe I should just go. We have some kind of existential crisis like that, like Arjuna is having. If at that time something kicks in and we say, no, I don't care. Let me suffer. Adarshanam mahatam karotuva matpranamatastu seva napraha. Whether you show your face to me, Krishna, or don't show your face to me, whether I suffer or whether I'm happy, I don't care. I'm going to continue with this. Tato bhajeta mam pitaha shagalodhita nishchaya. Maharaj quoted a nice verse this morning. Jeta shagama kata su, nivina sarva karma su, vedita kama kama kama, dukkha dhar kamas tagari. Not Maharaj, but Prabhuji was speaking. That in the 11th canto, Krishna tells Arjuna that sometimes people, jeta shagama kata su, they have faith in my kata. Jatashadamakatasu, Nivina Sarva Karmasu, they're disgusted with material life. Vedadukapakam kama, they know if I do these illicit activities, I'm going to suffer. But Puritike Panishvaraha, they can't give it up. And Krishna says in the next verse, what you should do, Tato Bhajetamam Prittaha, Shadalurjuda Nishchaya, Jusamanas Tatan Kama, Dukodarkam Shigarya, that you should continue. You should have great determination. You should continue with your bhajan. And when someone does that, something happens. Jiva Goswami speaks about this. Yatu bhaktanam sukham tatasya bhakti rupam eva. Bhakti is what gives us happiness. Tatatesham dukam cha bhagavat prapt antarayanaiva bhavati. When we can't connect with Krishna, with Gurudev, with the Vaishnavas, that's what causes us suffering. But in spite of that, if we have firm determination, I'm not going to give up. I have faith in this. Maybe I have a taste, maybe I don't have a taste. But this is my life. This is all there is. And I'm going to continue with my bhajan. Then an amazing thing happens. Jiva Goswami says, Tatcha Bhagavat Eva Chitra Drakta Jayate Sacha Bhakti Evati. When Krishna sees your determination, in spite of the suffering that you're going through, Krishna feels something. And he says, Chitra Drata Jayate. Krishna's heart melts. Sometimes we tell the story from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It begins with Vina Ramena. One day, without Balaram, Krishna and the boys went out to herd the cows. Prior to that, Mother Yashoda had given Krishna a stern instruction. Gopal, you can go anywhere in Braj, but don't go near Kali and Radha. You stay away from that lake of Kali. Krishna said, yes, ma'am. And then immediately afterwards, he went to his older brother. And he said, Balaram, Mata is telling me like this with the cows. They go here and there, and I can't control it. And Balaram said, I understand. He said, okay, you can go. But don't go in the water. Stay away from the water, Krishna said. So that morning, Dina Ramena, because it was Balaram's birthday, the boys and Krishna and the cows went out in the forest. And that day the cows, the young calves, were going ahead. And the boys were following behind them. And at the back was Krishna playing his flute. And the cows, it was a very hot day. Jiva Goswami describes in Lama Vaishnava Toshini. And the cows were suffering from the heat of the sun. And they were looking for some green grass and some water. And they saw a place they'd never gone to before. And they went there. And it was Kali Radha. And the cows drank that water, which was heavily poisoned. And the cows began to choke, and they died. And a moment or two later, when the boys arrived, they're dancing and joking and playing with each other, they stopped. And they saw their beloved cows all laying there dead. And the boys were just stunned for a moment. And then they decided, Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu, better we kill ourselves. How can we face Krishna? How can we tell Krishna that we failed? So they went and they drank the water. And the boys fell over dead. And Krishna came a few minutes later also, dancing and playing his flute in a very happy mood. And he stopped. And he saw something, the most horrific thing he'd ever seen. All of his friends and his dead calves laying there dead. And Jiva Goswami says at that time Krishna began to lament. And Krishna thought to himself, what am I going to do? How can I return to Vrindavan? What will I tell Sri Rama's mother? What will I tell Madhu Mangal's mother that they're dead? How can I do that? How can I speak to them? And Jiva Goswami then says something happened. That Krishna's personified love for those boys came out of his heart. And it came through his eyes in the form of his tears. Krishna began to cry. And those tears fell on the bodies of the boys and on the cows, and they came back to life. Those tears brought them to life. And this is very similar to what Jiva Goswami is saying here in Paramahamsa Sundarbha. Chatra Bhagavadiva Chitra Dutta Jayate. That when Krishna sees they're going through such a difficult situation, but he's not giving up, she's not giving up her bhajan for me, then Krishna's heart melts. And when Krishna's heart melts, what happens then? Such a bhakti avati. When Krishna's heart melts, that becomes our bhakti. It's not a bad thing. So there's another meaning to vishad. Bish means poison, and ada means to accept. So vishad yoga means that I accept the lamentation. I don't deny it. I don't want to run away from it. Rather, I embrace it. This is good for my bhajan. Let me pour out my heart now to Krishna. I'm not going to give up on my bhajan. I'm not going to give up on my guru and the Vaishnavas and my service. I'm going to continue no matter what. It's the test of a guru, the test of Krishna. And when Krishna sees that the devotee is so sincere like that, then Krishna's heart melts. And when Krishna's heart melts, that becomes our bhakti. My Guru Maharaj used to say, once he said that, when you cry for Krishna, the Ladini Shakti enters your heart and reveals who you are and who your guru is. So Jiva Goswami says, he concludes, Tasmad ubayata bhaktan anandaneta bhaktanubhava eva bhagavantam pravarta yatiti. The material suffering and material happiness are both meant to bring the soul to the Supreme Lord and to the happiness of bhakti. So for the devotees, they don't mind suffering as long as they can think of Krishna. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. general Christian response. Garba basa duka prabhu eho mora pala charitora smiti mora raiswara kala hare Krishna hare Krishna 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 hare Garba basa duka prabhu. When the living entity is suffering the terrible pains in the womb, he prays, I don't mind these sufferings as long as I can always think of you. Se dukkha vipad prabhu rahubare bala jaditona smriti take sarvadeya sara bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Vipad Prabhu. So the devotees, they pray, just as Queen Kunti prays, Vipadashantu Tashashvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Give me these sufferings. My Guru Maharaj said, you're not on that platform. Don't pray for that. But the advanced Vaishnavas, they pray like that. Give me these sufferings. And for those of us who are aspiring to be devotees, we should accept it. We shouldn't run away from it. Say dukkha vipad prabhu rahu bari bari. Let these dangers come again and again, because these help me to remember you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, in order to liberate the forgetful materialistic living entities from their absorption in matter and arouse their inclination toward him, the Lord has provided them with innumerable sufferings. from the external point of view appear to be punishment, but from the internal point of view are evidence of great compassion. We should understand we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer in this world because we're going to be tested severely by Guru and Krishna. Maybe you might aspire to become like the gopis, and if you become like the gopis, then you're really going to suffer. It's the greatest suffering in all the three worlds. We don't tell people that when they come in the door the first time. Don't just chant, dance, and be happy. Everything's very, very good. But later on, we can tell the devotees, no, you're going to suffer. And the suffering's very good. We should embrace that. This is Bhishad Yoga. So I'd like to conclude with a little exercise, if I can have your cooperation for a minute. I'd like to just give maybe 1 minute of time. Yeah, each of you please just sit and contemplate. And I'd like you to think about some very, very difficult tests that you had. Now, many of these tests are very personal. And we don't want to speak about those things. It may be something very private. But please think about what you did in response to that test. How did you react to that test? Did you go and eat 3 kgs of ice cream? Or did you read an extra chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Did you chant more rounds? What did you do in response to that suffering situation? So we'll give you 1 minute, okay? Please everybody just sit and contemplate that. Think about the most difficult situation you had to face in your life and how you reacted to it. Okay, so maybe we'll stop there. And now I'd like to see if anybody would like to share with us your thoughts. How did you react to this most difficult situation? Anybody want to share that with us?
I was once cooking for 100 devotees and a night, and then some guests came out in the kitchen, and the whole kitchen exploded with me inside. And I was in the hospital for 2 months, and I was big like a fried pakora. When I came to the hospital, it was New Year's Eve, and so I'm in pain. I saw some people there from the bed, and I wanted to make them happy because it was New Year's Eve. So I started singing in the bed, Hare Krishna to you. And then I shouted to the doctor that, is it okay I chant some mantras? And they said, yes, yes. And I was just screaming, Hare Krishna, like for many months in the bed. And today I'm just very thankful because before that time I couldn't relate really to old people. They were like another species of life. But after that experience, I felt like you were saying that if you have experienced something, then you may be better able to understand another person's suffering. So today I feel very grateful. I don't know if I would be able to react in the same way, but at that time, I got that test at that time that I was. I think
they'll
be able to respond.
One thing I found myself in the approach of the devotees too, that when we're in such a situation, even if we maybe respond in a little bit of a mechanical way, but we're very difficult, so we know this is a big test, and we decide I'm going to chant more rounds every day. I'm going to go to the evening programs I usually don't go to, I'm going to do some extra thing. Then it's like your mind has been given instruction. And your mind gets used to, whenever there's a calamity, whether there's a crisis, this is what I do. I take shelter more. It helps. That's a very good story of thinking. Anybody else? You don't have to tell your calamity if you don't want it, but the solution. Anybody else want to share a solution with us? How do you add it?
Well, I find
particular
when I
was
praying now, I can't follow it.
There's different types of crying. But that kind of crying when we have no hope, when there's no hope, there's no solution for us, that kind of crying is the best kind of crying. That's the deepest kind of crying. That's very nice, thank you. Anything else from you?
Well, it was like a prolonged period, so I had a long time like to think about it or what I would do. In the beginning I was like fighting against it, but like not physical pain but emotional pain. So in the beginning I was like fighting against it, but after some time I start thinking that, well, Krishna has placed the suffering in this world for a reason. So I tried to look at it as kind of a friend, like to embrace it, let it go through me to see what happened instead of fighting against it. And I actually found out that letting it go through me, letting it go and see what happened with it, actually it cleansed. You know, of course I cried and all the other things, but I felt relieved and cleansed afterwards. And I overcome like the situation, like in on the emotional platform, not to see the suffering as my enemy.
So we get some wisdom from that. And we don't, when you're saying it, that you just let it go through, it evokes to me the thought of, I'm not trying to do it. But Krishna is just up to you. And I can't fight against this thing. And in that situation, we become wise and we learn something. So, any last comments? Anybody? Mataji?
Well, I think that
I have thrown myself into readings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Threw yourself into readings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
That brought out the literature.
Oh, that's wonderful. The songs?
Songs mainly, but also songs.
Also some other things too. Yeah, that's very beautiful. Because they're singing these songs which are full of very powerful feelings, and they're doing it for us. So when we're suffering, when we have this very difficult experience, we should take shelter of those. That's very, very nice. Thank you. So I just want to mention to everybody that we're going to have another session. This is going to be a concluding session. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the last chapter of the 10th canto in his commentary, he says famously, Madhu Yena Samarpayet, you should finish with something very sweet. So we'd like to speak about how this Vishada Yoga obviously talks about Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that will be the day after tomorrow, 12:15 and 1:45. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki
jai,
Prema Nandi, Vamsa Gopadavishchana, Samaveda.